Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what would it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the word of the Lord.
I invite you to pray in your hearts with me. Merciful God, we have come into your presence today to bring you our worship. We have come to receive forgiveness of our sins. We have come to lift up our voices in praise and express our love to you. But we've also come today to hear your word, to listen to what you want to bless us with when it comes to our own lives and our relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I do not know why you have brought everyone here today, but you do. And I know you have a purpose for each and every one of them, whether they're here in person or online, or even those who might be watching this at some other time. I pray that your Spirit will open our hearts and our lives to receive your message as we give you thanks in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So about 20 to 25 years ago, there was this trend to tell not jokes, right? Not jokes are funny, not. I don't know if you remember this. The ant always falls over on its right side when intoxicated, not. The average human eats 8 spiders in their lifetime at night, not. Mom said you can eat as much Halloween candy as you want, not. And some would say it started with, because of a movie that came out in 1992. The movie is called Wayne's World. And it features the lives of two weird nerdy guys, Wayne and Garth. And their quirky language style has made an enduring impression, apparently. Among their favorite expressions is the practice of making a statement and then following it with the single negative not to indicate that the opposite of what was stated is in fact the truth. So dull and boring, not. Today we have a similar grammatical construction. Not has been replaced by said no one ever. For example, I love the sound of my alarm clock, said no one ever. Your socks look great with your sandals, said no one ever. Annalise loves that, to tell me that one. I am not a good driver, said no man ever. You don't have to put on that jacket. It's not that cold outside, said no mom ever, right? Or I guess it's time, it's really time to clean my room, said no teen ever. So you get the idea. So when we look at our scripture passage for today, we can imagine three such said no one ever statements. And here's the first one. Sure, I would love to live a life of self-denial, said no one ever. Yet this is precisely what Jesus requires of his followers. It says in verse 24, then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves. Let them deny themselves. So Jesus says, give up your own way. Forget about yourself. Get out of the driver's seat. If you want to be my follower, deny yourself. And so let's talk about that and what does it mean to practice self-denial? Well, to talk about what Jesus calls self-denial, we need to first understand the kind of culture we're living in. We're living in an egocentric culture where it's all about me and my needs and my wants. It's the principle on which market economics works. It's the assumption of all marketing and advertising campaigns. It's the normative behavior in relationships at work, at school, and neighborhood. We are going to put our own interests ahead of those of others. Why do you think there is so much conflict in our lives and in our world? Why do you think people often don't get along? Why are there so many disagreements and hurt feelings and feuds and broken relationships? Why is it that people sometimes lose their jobs? Why they get into a fight over a parking space? Why they fume with anger when they cut off on the interstate? Why? It's because we live in a country called me. We have me rules, me goals, me dreams, me plans, me money, me toys, me politics, me gadgets. And so when people and the behavior of people disrupt life in me world, me gets very upset. Because it's all about me. It's not about you. It's not about your needs, your feelings, your dreams and goals. No, it's about me. And Jesus turns this upside down. He says, if you want to be my disciples, and if we want to follow him, then we must change countries. Instead of living in the country of me, we must live in the country of you, where you come first, where your needs are paramount, where we live to make certain that you are cared for, that you are honored and respected, and that you are whole and healthy in every way. This is what a follower of Jesus does. You deny your citizenship in me and embrace a world in which the other is center. An other-centric culture, not an egocentric one. So you deny yourself and do things the Jesus way. And the Jesus way is the way of self-sacrificing love, what is called agape in the Greek language. And so the Bible says, don't be jealous or proud, but be humble. And consider others more important than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourselves and think the same way that Jesus Christ thought. So, you know, sure, I would love to live a life of self-denial, said no one ever. Well, are you maybe now willing to say it? In order to truly be a follower of Jesus? The great theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." And that's the cost of discipleship. But there is a payoff, okay? And that payoff is life. Life. Jesus said, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If you give up your life for Jesus, you will have true life. It is worthless to have the whole world if you lose your soul. You could never pay enough to buy back your soul. So you see, Jesus knew that he was going to Jerusalem to die, and that it would be extremely painful and horrible. But he also knew that beyond the cross was resurrection. And so it's not easy to deny yourself. As a matter of fact, it's extremely difficult to forget about yourself. But if you do, you will find that happiness is the result. You will find that real living will arrive. Malcolm Muggeridge said, "I can say that I never knew what joy was like until I gave up pursuing happiness or cared to live until I chose to die." And for these two discoveries, he said, I'm beholden to Jesus. Because a life of self-denial is an intensely meaningful life. In the words of the prayer of St. Francis, "For it is in dying to self that we are born to eternal life." Jesus said, if anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross. So here's another statement. I can't, you know, I just can't wait to embrace the instrument of my death. Where is my cross? Said no one ever. Now that we've established that following Jesus means we're going to die, we must talk about the instrument of our death. And that instrument is a cross. The cross was the preferred method of execution in the Roman world, and everyone knew this. Everyone. The cross wasn't a fashion accessory or something pretty like it is to many today. It was associated with the cruelest way of dying. And so what does this mean, you know, to bear a cross? To carry your cross? To unpack this, let's ask what it would have meant to Jesus' disciples when they heard Jesus say this. So what they knew was that when someone was going to be crucified, that person had to carry the cross on which they were going to die. If not the whole cross, which could really be heavy, then at least the cross piece from which they would hang. So the disciples clearly understood the reference. But they could not possibly have understood at this time that Jesus' comments were in any way intended to be literal. They scarcely understood that Jesus himself was going to die on a cross. They could not have interpreted Jesus' comments literally. Jesus was not asking them literally to find the cross on which they would die and carry it. So they understood Jesus' comments in a figurative way. And if they did, well, we should too. But what did they think Jesus meant? Jesus was saying that his followers must embrace those things, those moments that incite the self-denial response that we've already talked about. Jesus said two things: deny yourself and bear your cross. Now we can think of the first of these statements as a call to passive self-denial, and the second as a call to active self-denial. In other words, when you by any chance you should feel that in your life there's no opportunity for self-denial, that there are no occasions where you can give yourself away, if that is you, then Jesus is saying, well, you better find one. You need to find that cross. Because unless you practice a life of self-denial, in which God and others are given precedence over yourself, you can't be a disciple. And so as followers of Jesus, we find a cross, we pick it up. Maybe there's someone in your life where you say, man, I'm having a real hard time loving and befriending this person. Pick up a cross and love that person and befriend that person. Maybe you find it difficult to give to charity and non-profits and your church. In other words, it's hard for you to open your bank account so that your financial resources might bless others. Then pick up a cross and increase your annual giving substantially. Maybe it's hard for you to bless those who mistreat you and say all kinds of nasty things about you. So find a cross and bless them. Pray for that. Write a note of encouragement and slip in a $10 gift certificate to Starbucks. That's picking up a cross. That is active discipleship. Thomas A. Kempis in the Inner Life wrote, in the cross is salvation. In the cross is life. In the cross is protection against our enemies. In the cross is infusion of heavenly sweetness. In the cross is strength of mind. In the cross is joy of spirit. In the cross is excellence of virtue. In the cross is perfection of holiness. There's no salvation of soul, nor hope, or eternal life save in the cross. And in another place he wrote, if you bear the cross gladly, it will bear you. But there's something important you need to know about carrying a cross. The cross is not the illness or the chronic physical problem you may have. I mean, that's difficult to endure, sure, the suffering it causes, the difficulties and challenges that come from that. But cross bearing is different. It's something different. To carry your cross is a voluntary act of discipleship. It's not the bearing of something that befalls you in the daily course of things. Or when something happens to you that you have no control over. Or suffering as a result of something stupid that you brought upon yourself. Cross bearing always involves that picking up part. Or the taking up part. Because the cross is something you choose. You choose an act of self-denial. You choose an act of giving yourself away. I mean, you can pass the cross and leave it behind and leave Jesus behind as well. Or you can stop and pick up the cross and follow Jesus. Which brings me to the last statement. Jesus said, if anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Sure, I would love to follow Jesus, said no one ever. Actually, many people have said that. Many, many people. I would love to follow Jesus. There are lots of people who say, yes, I would love to follow Jesus. But unfortunately, they don't often speak, or they often speak these words before they accept the first two conditions. Before they agree to self-denial and cross-bearing. So it's sort of jumping the line. And we think Jesus won't notice. We'll just forget about those first two stipulations, and we can follow Jesus without denying ourselves and without taking up our crosses. But unfortunately, we can't. We can't follow Jesus without the cross. Because that's like saying, I want to be in an orchestra, but I don't want to play any instrument. Or I want to be a Yankee fan, but I don't want to wear a Yankee t-shirt in public. I wouldn't either, but that's, you know, that's a different story. I'm just kidding. No, we can't follow Jesus without the cross. You can't be a part of the bee, say you're a bee and not be part of the hive. And soon, many would follow Jesus, understand it as well. And then they fade away and they slide into the background of darkness and they're gone. And so Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. And maybe a part of, you know, why people drift away from Jesus' principles and agenda is because we like it better to be leaders than followers. And listen, there's nothing wrong. I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with wanting to be a leader. Except when the decision is about whether Jesus is the leader or you are the leader. Then it's an issue. When you rebel against his leadership. When you wander from his principles and agenda to go your own way. Then you've stopped being a disciple, a follower. Then you've dropped the cross. And rather than denying yourself, you have actually denied Jesus. So this is a tough passage, right? It's tough. Being a follower and disciple of Jesus is easy, said no one ever. It's not easy, but it's meaningful, and it's life-giving, and it's ultimately rewarding. And so what Jesus is saying to all of us today is this. If any of you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me. If you want to save your life, you will destroy it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. What will you gain if you own the whole world but destroy yourself? What would you give to get back your soul? Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, our prayer today is that your Spirit will empower us, will work in our lives and enable us to deny ourselves, to pick up those crosses, and to follow your Son Jesus. That's where life is. That's where joy is. May we, in our own small way, as we follow your Son Jesus, bring a difference to the world we live in, so that we don't live in a country called me, but live in a country where we acknowledge others as important, where we are willing to give and deny of ourselves. May you bless us through your Son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.